Mark chapter 12. You know, we all have our lists. Sometimes it's a honey-do list, and those things hang around forever because, I mean, if we wanted to do them, they'd already be done. We have lists. That's pretty good. I'm happy. I need to write that one down. We have our lists of our favorite foods. I like about anything, but I like most things better than turnips and lima beans. We were in a Cracker Barrel, I think it was, and Karen ordered the special of the day, and she said, "What's the vegetable of the day?" And the lady said, "Well, we got lima beans." And I asked her, I said, "I bet you get a lot of just special orders for that, people just wanting lima beans." And she said, "No, not really." And you know, we have our as we travel, we have our favorite churches that we enjoy being in and going back to. And I'm not just buttering you up. This is one of our favorite churches. We enjoy being here. We have our favorite preachers. For instance, I am my mom's favorite preacher. I'm in Karen's top three. But I think you understand the point I'm trying to make. We have lists. We have things that to us are the most important. Things that to us are the most special. The religious leaders of Jesus' day tried to trick him, tried to catch him by asking him questions that if he answered a certain way, then maybe they could accuse him. But as he answered correctly time after time after time, one of these fellas thought, "Boy, it's going to be hard to catch him." And so he said, I've got a question. I think this is a great question. He said, "Lord, of all the commandments in the Bible," and there are more than 830 commandments, I think I read somewhere, "of all the commandments in the Bible, which one is the most important? Which one is at the top of the list? Of all the commandments, what do you think is the most important?" And with no hesitation, our Lord gave the answer. Stand with me, please, and we'll read Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse number 28. The Bible says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.' The Lord said, 'Of all the commandments, this one is at the top of the list. This one is the most important. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.'" Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to examine whether or not we are obedient to this commandment. Father, we recognize that a commandment is not an option. It's something that we're supposed to do. And so I pray that as I preach, you would help me. You'd help me to preach with power. And Lord, as folks listen, I pray that they would listen so that they might be better servants of thine. And God, as I preach and others listen, I pray that you'd make application. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, in order to give a commandment, There's an assumption of authority. The one giving the command has the right to make the command. I remember growing up, I have two younger brothers. And sometimes these guys would just get on my nerves growing up. You know, the oldest kid has it hardest. Yeah, it's always tougher on the oldest. If the little ones get in trouble, it's because you weren't watching them carefully enough. Yeah. Yeah. And besides that, when you're the oldest, your parents have these expectations. They think you're going to be the best athlete, the smartest kid in the whole world. For instance, I didn't go to kindergarten, but I went to first grade, and I came home from first grade with my very first report card. And on my report card, I had some A's and some B's, but I had a C in penmanship. My dad said, "Hey, what's with this C in penmanship?" I said, "Well, man, I'm only in first grade. I don't know how to write." He said, "Well, we're not going to have this." And I said, "Well, Dad, I'm going to be a doctor." But my dad decided he's going to cure my bad penmanship, and so our report card period was every 6 weeks, and so every school night, I'm talking first grade, this is a poor 6-year-old kid, every school night I had to sit at the kitchen table for 30 minutes and copy the encyclopedia. I mean, I could tell you anything you want to know, from aardvark to Bakersfield. When the next report card came out, I had a B minus in penmanship, and I didn't have to copy the encyclopedia anymore. The point is, my dad thought I ought to do well. C's are not acceptable. My little brother comes along. He goes to first grade. He comes home with several C's, never sits at the kitchen table. My littlest brother flunked first grade, never sat at the kitchen table. It's tough being the oldest. Now that illustration has nothing to do with the sermon. I was just mentioning that I had two younger brothers. And you'd be playing or, doing serious business, and one of them would come running up and say, hey, you're supposed to come home. And the first question is always, who said? Who said? Because it makes a difference. If you want me home, I'm not going home. If mom wants me home, I've got about 5 more minutes to play, and then I go home. If dad wants me home, I'm going home right now. You see, there's some authority there. Who said? Who said I'm supposed to go home? Who said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind, and all thy strength? It is God Himself who commands. It is God Himself who has commanded us to love Him like that. And by the way, God has a right to command. He has a right because He made us. He is the Creator. The Bible says that He made all things, and by Him all things consist. And so if God wants us to love Him with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds and all of our strength, if God wants us to do that, He has a right to command us. Amen. But beyond the fact that He's our Creator, if you're saved, if you've been born again, He has a right to command you because He purchased you. We learn in 1 Corinthians 6 that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And because the price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, He purchased us, as we heard in that wonderful song before the message, He purchased our redemption. God purchased us. He owns us. And because we belong to Him, He has a right to say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So there is an authority that is assumed, but there's also a relationship. If you're not saved, he's not talking to you. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. There's a personal relationship. David in the 23rd Psalm said, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. And if the Lord is your Savior, he is thy God. And so he makes this commandment. I mean, the commandment above all the others, the most important, if we can use that phraseology. At the top of the list, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What does that mean, to love God with all your heart? I'm told that your heart is a muscle that's in your chest cavity about the size of your fist. Oftentimes, because I'm just a romantic kind of guy, I say, Karen, I love you with all of my heart. What that means is I love you with that muscle in my chest. I love you with every aorta. I love you with every ventricle. Karen, I love you with every leukocyte, erythrocyte. I love you. I want you to know I love you with every corpuscle. My entire circulatory system is yours. Now, if you think about that, it's a little gross. We're not really talking about the circulatory system. When we talk about loving with all of our heart, we're talking about all of our affections. With all of the affection that I'm able to muster, I love my wife, and God says, I want you to love me like that. I want you to love me with all your affection. We learn in Colossians 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. Now, that which holds our affection, we just enjoy fellowship. I remember when Karen and I were engaged. I lived in Michigan, she lived in Illinois. And it was long before cell phones. In fact, they had just invented the telephone. But there was no such thing as free nights and free weekends. And state to state long distance is expensive. But because we were in love, every night I would call her. And in fact, 1 month, my phone bill was more than $200. That's a lot of money. But you know, it was worth it. I can remember the phone calls. I can remember it like it was yesterday. That phone would ring. She'd answer and go, hello? Hi. It's me. Oh, I was hoping it was. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. What'd you do today? Nothing. What'd you do? Nothing. How's your weather? Hot. Why? How's yours? It's hot. What are you gonna do tomorrow? Well, I don't know. Why? What are you going to do? Nothing. We could talk like that for 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours. I'd hang up the phone and go, man, what a conversation. Woo! You know why we could could talk for 2 hours and really say absolutely nothing. It's because we're in love. That makes me wonder why you can't even pray for 5 minutes. You know why you struggle to pray? Maybe you don't love God with all your heart. I mean, when you're in love with somebody, you just want to spend time with them. You just want the fellowship. Before I was traveling full-time in evangelism, when I was a pastor, I'd get invited to meetings, and I'd go to the meeting, and I'd call her every morning because she didn't come, and I'd call her every night, and sometimes I'd call her several times during the day, and I couldn't stand being away from her, and finally I'd be able to get back home and back with her, and I just wanted to be with her. You know, how long has it been since you wanted to spend time with the Lord? How long since you just wanted that fellowship with God? You longed for it. You looked forward to it. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying every morning you get out of bed and say, "Oh, man, it's prayer time, yes." But there ought to be a desire. There ought to be a longing. There ought to be something stirring within your breast that just makes you want to talk to the one that you love with all of your heart. He says the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Notice the word all. Amen. He doesn't just say with your heart. He says all your heart. Amen. All your heart. Karen grew up in a family that didn't follow sports much. Odd people. I love sports. In fact, if you're a man and you don't like sports, you make me nervous. And so, I mean, my favorite sport is football. In fact, the day we were married, Southern Cal played Notre Dame. I was almost late to the wedding. But I told her, I said, Karen, I love football. She said, oh, I like it too. Now, what she meant is once during a season, they'd go to a high school game when she was in high school. She didn't realize they had college football on Saturday, pros on Sunday, and pros on Monday night. So we've been married about a month. And I, college football on Saturday, pro football on Sunday, Monday night football. And she said to me, she said, you know, sometimes I think you love football more than you love me. And I said, well, Karen, I said, I love you a lot more than basketball. No. She didn't want to be in second place to football, and she shouldn't be in second place to football. And God doesn't want to be in second place to anything. He said, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul. All your soul. Psalm 42, verse 1, the scripture says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. There's that ambition, that longing, that desire for God. He says, as the deer, so thirsty, finally finding a stream, that's how my soul pants after God. You ever been really thirsty? The only time in my life that I can remember being really, really thirsty. I told you yesterday where I grew up in Jackpot, Nevada. It's right on the Idaho border. Our town was a mile high. We're up in the mountains. There was one paved road that ran through our town. U.S. Highway 93 ran north and south. You could literally stand on my back steps out this direction. You could go and not hit a paved road for 300 miles. I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere. And so a lot of us had motorcycles, dirt bikes that we just rode all the time for fun. One day, I was by myself. I was about 25 miles from home and my chain broke. And I had to walk home. It was summertime. It was hot. And it was dry. And I mean, it was a long way home. I'd been walking a couple of hours and my mouth is so dry. I mean, I couldn't swallow. You didn't want to spit because you might need that fluid sometime. I mean, I'm just thirsty. I'm thirsty. My lips are chapping up. I remember seeing these cartoons of guys crawling across the desert. Water. That's how I felt. I read later that you can live 7 days without water. I thought it was like 7 hours. I was worried. But I knew about 2 miles from town was the river. And if I could just make it to the river, I was going to live. And so I just kept walking and kept walking, and it was hot and dry and thirsty. Finally, I came to the river. I mean, I'd been walking for several hours. Finally, I got to the river. Several, I think that's two. Got to the river. And I reached down real carefully. You believe that? Oh, no. Oh, no. Man, I got to the river. The river flows this way. I got to the river. I jumped in. Ah. I just let the whole river flow right down my throat. Just, And I drank and swallowed and swallowed and drank until I was bloated. Walked out on the other side, and man, I felt miserable. I just had to get some more. You ever been like that for God? You ever just look forward to church with such an anxious anticipation that you just can't wait? And you wonder if you're even going to make it. You know, that's what the Bible says. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. And all of our mind. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What do you think about when you're not really thinking about anything? I mean, when your mind wanders, like in the middle of the sermon. When you're just daydreaming. When you're not concentrating, your brain's just wandering off. Do your thoughts ever turn to the Lord? What is it that you think about? God says, I want you to love me with all of your mind. Do you ever just walk along and get all excited about what God has done for you? You ever just praise God when nobody's around? Just have yourself a little shouting fit when it's just you? Or do we think about other things? Now, please don't misunderstand the sermon. I don't anticipate that anybody in this room is going to be on that mountain peak 24 hours a day. The question is, do you want to be? The question is, are you ever? Because it's a commandment from the Lord, and he says, with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. All of your strength. You know, I get the idea of exercise. I hate exercise. I wish somebody would invent an easy exercise. Exercise equipment is just expensive coat hangers. You You know, we don't like exercise because it's hard work. And it's discipline. And it's difficult. And I think when God's telling us to love Him with all of our strength, it means we're going to have to work at it. It means we're going to have to try real hard and discipline ourselves and make the effort to make sure that we stay in love with God the way that we're supposed to. You see, God wants us to love Him completely. By the way, it's not an option. It's not something where He says, hey, try this. I think you'll enjoy it. A fellow said, what's the most important commandment in all the Bible? And with no hesitation. And by the way, Jesus didn't usually answer their questions. But He answered this one. He said, oh, that's an easy one. With all your heart, you ought to love God. And with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Yeah, that's the most important commandment. Let's get logical here for a minute. If that's the biggest commandment, does it stand to reason that maybe the biggest sin would be breaking that commandment? I mean, it's pretty important. It's at least important enough that we ought to take it seriously. We ought to make it a matter of prayer every day, asking God to give us a heart that loves Him. We ought to make an effort every day to do what God would have us to do so that we might love Him. When I was a pastor, and I pastored for 21 years, oftentimes, it was my responsibility to do marriage counseling. I don't miss that. Don't miss it at all. But occasionally, somebody would come in and say something just ludicrous like, I don't know if I love her anymore. I don't know if I'm still in love with him. And every time my counsel would be, love is an act of the will. You love because you want to love. You love because you work at loving. You love because you choose to love. You want to love God with all your heart, you're going to have to want to love Him with all your heart. You're going to have to work at loving Him with all your heart. You're going to have to choose to love Him with all of your heart. You say, well, you know, I don't know if I do. How can a person know for sure? Well, the Bible gives us some very specific characteristics by which we can measure our love. Remember when Jesus is there with His disciples at the Last Supper? And He looks around at them and He says, this night every one of you is going to be offended because of me. And Peter jumps up and says, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. These other guys might deny you. Not me. This is Pete. You know me. I'm the guy who walked on the water with you. Lord, these other fellas might deny you. I'd die before I'd do that. And the Lord said, no, you're going to deny me three times this night. Three times you'll deny me. No. But we know the story. That night after Jesus was taken away by those soldiers, three times Peter said, I don't even know Him. Three times he denied Him. Well, following the resurrection, the Lord showed Himself to the disciples. Peter was in a boat and recognized that it was the Lord, and he jumped out and swam to shore and ran up to Him. And the first thing that Jesus said was, Simon, lovest thou me? In fact, the Lord asked him three times, do you love me? Three times he denied him. Three times he said, do you love me? But one time, very interesting, the Lord said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? By comparison, what's the most important thing in your life? Do you love the Lord more? Do you love Him more than those? Or do they occupy your thoughts? They occupy your time. They occupy your heart. There's some characteristics. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now listen, it's impossible for you to divorce yourself from the love of God. God's love is constant. God's love is eternal. God's love is unchanging. He says in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "Behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." There's nothing you can ever do to cause God not to love you. So when it says the love of the Father is not in him, it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It means we don't love God. If you love the world, you don't love God. Verse 16 tells us what the world is. He says, "This is the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." The worldly system. The desire to accumulate things. The ambition to fit into the crowd. You know, the world is always coming up with a new fad, new fashion. And of course, we understand we're independent fundamental Baptists. We understand how Christians are supposed to look, how is Christians supposed to dress. We understand all about separation. We are separate from the world. We're separate from the flesh. We're separate from the devil. We understand that a Christian is supposed to dress like a Christian, act like a Christian, look like a Christian. I mean, we know that. So let me ask you a question. When you go on vacation, what do you wear? I mean, when you're away from the church and other folks in the church and they won't see you and won't know how you're dressed, what do you wear? And we know about godly music. We know that there's a kind of music that honors and glorifies the Lord. And we know there's a sinful, sensual kind of music that's wicked and evil. We know that a Christian ought not listen to rock music, rap music, country music. Boy, that one got quiet. Let me try that again. Christian ought not listen to rock music, rap music, country music. Oh, good. Thought I'd lost you there for a minute. We know that that's of the world. And the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, the buttons on your car radio, where do they set at? The CDs, the tapes in your home that you listen to when pastor's not visiting. When you don't have the youth department over for the evening. What do you listen to? If you love God, you don't struggle with those. You say, "Well, I love God and I still struggle with those." Impossible. Impossible. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "No man can serve two masters. For either he'll love the one and despise the other, or he'll cleave to the one and hate the other." And so, if we love God, it's going to be evident in the way we live. And in fact, in let me find the verse here. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, it says, "If any man love God, the same is known of him." Did you ever go to the mall? See people about 95 years old walking together, holding hands. Don't you love that? I love seeing old people hold hands. That's why Karen and I do it, to thrill the young people. There's just something about folks that have been married for a long, long time that are still in love. You can tell they're in love. Heard about the fellow that was at McDonald's. He's there with his wife and another guy's watching, and he's just observing. This guy picks up the tray and gets a straw and goes to the counter and he says, "We would like one Big Mac." We would like one Coke. They sit down at the table. He cuts the Big Mac in half. She gets half, he gets half. Dumps out the fries, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. Puts the straw in. She takes a sip, he takes a sip. The fellow watching came up and said, "This is the most unusual thing I've ever seen." And the fellow said, "Well, I just wanted you to know it's our anniversary. 50 years today. And so we're celebrating." He said, 50 years, that's amazing. What's the key? He said, "Well, we share everything." He said, "Well, you got to be hungry." He said, "I notice your wife's eating, but you're just sitting there." He goes, "Well, it's her turn for the teeth." Guy tells it right, that one's funny. But you know, some folks have been married for a long time, you can just tell they're in love. You just love to see that. The Bible says if you love God, people can tell. They just see it. They just know. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Well, I want to love God. I want to grow in my love for God. I want to reach a place where I love Him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength. How can I do that? Got an easy way to do it. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. What is it that God wants you to do that you're not doing? That's hindering you from loving Him with all your heart and all your soul. You see, we're supposed to read the Bible, study to show thyself approved. If you're not faithfully, daily reading your Bible, there's no way you're going to love God with all your heart. We're supposed to pray. I mean, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. And if you don't have a consistent prayer time, if you don't have a daily time of fellowship with God, you're not going to love Him like you ought to. Because if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're not faithful to church, I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, revival meetings, every time the doors open, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so if you're not faithful to church, you're not following His commandments, if you're not keeping His commandments, you're not loving Him the way you ought to. If you're not tithing your income. You see, the Bible very clearly teaches that a Christian is obligated to give 10% of your income to God. Now, you ought to give more, but you're obligated to give 10%. And if you don't give 10% of your income, you're not going to love God the way that you ought to. You see, everything is tied to obedience. Husbands, you want to love God the way you ought to, then you love your wife as Christ loved the church. You train up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ladies, wives, you want to love God the way that you ought to love God? Then you submit to your husbands. It's a commandment. Well, you don't understand, Brother Hal. This is 2005. I think I understand well. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Young people, you want to love God with all your heart? Honor thy father and mother. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, it's fairly simple, folks. It's just a matter of figuring out what God wants us to do and then do it. Amen. You want to love God? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Hello, I'm with you always. Hey, what a thing. You want to love God? Be a soul winner. You say, well, you know, I just can't do all those things. Then you can't love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And if you can't do that, I think you're breaking the biggest commandment. I mean, being a Christian is serious business. And it's about time we got serious about it. The world looks at us and sees no difference between God's people and the people of the world. And we wonder why it's hard to get folks. We wonder why it's hard to reach them, hard to win them. It's not because it's the last days and people's hearts are hardened and they've been so saturated with the gospel. It's because they don't see many Christians who love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and all their strength. Lord, of all the commandments in the Bible, of all of them, what's the most important? Oh, that's easy. With all your heart, love God. Christian, do you do that? With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, do you do that? A better question even, do you want to do that? Do you want that kind of relationship? If so, keep my commandments. Love not the world. It's fairly simple. Father, thank you tonight for this reminder from the Scripture. Lord, I thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. Lord, I pray in a very special way tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm convinced the people who would come to church on a Monday night have come because they want to hear from God. Because they want to know what's right and they want to do right. So, Father, would you please bless this invitation? Lord, there's some folks that have not been saved very long. There's some growth that's necessary in their lives. But God, tonight, help them to want to grow. There's some Christians that have been saved for years and years and years. And yet, Lord, there's been just a period of stagnation, a period when we've just kind of taken you for granted. Father, tonight, would you rekindle that love? Lord, tonight, would you help us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and nobody's looking. I wonder tonight if somebody would say, Brother Hal, God spoke to my heart. There are things in my life that I know God has put his finger on. I've been convicted of them. There are areas of disobedience in my life that are keeping me from loving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Maybe it was something I mentioned. Maybe it's something that I haven't even spoken of. And yet God has put his finger on your heart. You say, Brother Hal, God has dealt with my heart and I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. They're keeping me from having that kind of relationship with the Lord. And tonight, I need to get things right with God and I'd like you to pray for me. If you'd let me do that, would you raise your hand and hold it high? God has spoken to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Several of the young people, others, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. In just a moment, when we have the invitation, I'm going to encourage you to get things right. I'm going to encourage you not to put it off and not to wait. Whatever it is, you take care of it tonight. Maybe there are others that say, Brother Hal, I don't know of anything specific in my life. And yet, as I examine my heart, I'm convinced that I'm not loving God with all of my heart. And all of my soul, and all of my mind, and all of my strength, and I want to. I want my priorities to be such that I'll love God. I want my testimony to be such that people know that I love God. And preacher, I needed that message tonight. I needed that reminder. I want you to pray for me and pray with me that I would be an example of one who with all of his heart at least tries to love God. With all of his strength and mind and soul. Preacher, God used that message. Would you pray for me? If that's your desire, raise your hand and hold it high. God bless you. So many. So many. Thank you. You can put your hands down. One last question. Maybe tonight you're not even saved. Not positive you're on your way to heaven. No way you can love God until you get saved. No way you can understand the love of God until you get saved. You say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I need to get saved, and I want you to pray for me." If you'd let me do that, quickly raise your hand, hold it high, and I'll see it, acknowledge it, and then you can put it down. Anybody? Anybody? All right, let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for every hand that was raised. I thank you for those that said, "I want to love God. I want to love him with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. Lord, I want to. And so I pray that you would help me and help the others to do what we ought to do and need to do. Lord, for several that said, "There's some things in my life that aren't right." God, tonight, I pray that you would send revival in their souls and you'd help them to get right with you. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.